Establishing a mode of unalloyed goodness, a man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge and personality development in the stage of liberation from all material association. The Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is said that out of many thousands of ordinary men, one fortunate man endeavors for perfection in life. Mostly men are conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus are always engaged in lust, desire, hankerings, ignorance, and sleep. Out of many such man-like animals, there is actually a man who knows the responsibility of human life, and thus tries to make life perfect by following the prescribed duties. Out of many thousands of such persons who have thus attained success in human life, one may know scientifically about the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita, 1855, it is also said that scientific knowledge of Sri Krishna is understood only by the process of devotional service, Bhakti Yoga. The very same thing is confirmed herein in the above words. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection of human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. And as soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance. In other words, when one is actually a Brahman, the qualification. A Brahman is a symbol of sattva gun, or the mode of goodness. And others who are not in the mode of goodness are either Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras, or less than Sudras. The Brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a Brahman. The devotee is already a Brahman by action, but that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a Brahman has to become a Vaishnava, in fact, to be actually in the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul, and is transcendental even in the position of a Brahman. In the material stage, even a Brahman is also a conditioned soul, because although in the Brahminical stage the conception of Brahman, or transcendence, is realized, scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lacking. One has to surpass the Brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage to understand the personality of Godhead, Krishna. The science of the personality of Godhead is a subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual life. Foolish men, and men with a poor fund of knowledge, do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims. The fact is, however, that one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a Brahman. When a qualified Brahman actually becomes a Vaishnava, in the enlivened stage of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead. Purave Chandraya Kayaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Srila Prabhupada's purport is based on the description of this version. It's based on the description given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And we'll come to that later when Vishwanath has to say. Vishwanath, in his purport to this verse, describes that this verse talks about four different stages in bhakti. Prabhupada, in the purport, he first of all speaks about how bhakti is a rare thing. Many times we don't understand what it means that it's rare. We think it's something like magic. The pure devotee is someone who's been in touch with a magic wand. He's something else. But a pure devotee is just someone who's very, very simple. Krishna's a common boy. And the gopis of Raj, they're very expert in collecting cow dung, making cow dung patties, and sweeping, cleaning, cooking. They're simple village people. Krishna likes them. Bhakti is not a complicated technical thing. Srila Prabhupada said that it's simple for the simple. But out of many thousands among men, hardly even one begins to realize that. Because hardly even one out of thousands of persons who may practice some kind of Vedic regulation, some kind of spiritual life, hardly one of them is actually inquisitive, genuinely. They're just doing it for some other reason. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes four types of persons who begin Bhagavad Bhakti, Bhagavad Bhajan. In his Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says, Maya, Asha, Kartavibhuti, and Raja. I think we mentioned this the other day also. Maya means out of fear. Some people, they are afraid. So they worship God. In Europe, in America, many people, they worship God because the church people, they tell them, if you don't worship God, if you don't come to church, then you're going to burn in hell. And there's certain people also in India who are afraid. And they come to God because they're afraid and have some fear. Better than those people are the people who have some material desire and come to God. Asha. They're better because it's not so gross, their motivation. It's a little something higher. And they have some material desires. Akam sadhu kamu va moksha kamu vadadi to mena bhakti yogi nana jeta purusham kam. It's described in the Bhagavatam that whether someone has all material desires, no material desires, or desires liberation, they should worship the Lord. So at least that person is a little better. They have material desires. They're sarvakama. But they approach the Lord for fulfillment of their desire. They're a little more intelligent. It's not just that we worship God out of fear. The Bhaktivinoda says that both Bhaya and Asha are very low class reasons to approach the Lord. Better than that, he says, is Kartavibhuti. Kartavibhuti is a sense of duty. I must do that. I promised my Guru Maharaj. So I must chant 16 rounds. I'm doing it out of some duty. Some people, they chant 16 rounds because they're afraid. If I don't, I'm going to make some offense. If I don't do this, I'm going to go to hell. And some people, they chant japa because I want something. And oh, Krishna, please, I really want a nice wife, a nice husband, a nice job, and a nice AC. I'll go to the spiritual world, but only if you have a nice AC. Some people, they're praying like that. But better than that is someone who's at least doing it out of duty, because it's not selfish in this way. But for the Bhagavatam, in the very beginning, also describes this, the dharma projudikaitavata. Paramahana Matsvarama Sita. Who understands this Bhagavatam? Those Paramajanas, topmost persons, who are Nirmatsvarama Sita. They're Satjanas. And the Nirmatsvarama, they have no envy. And they appreciate the Bhagavatam because they have no envy. Because this Bhagavatam is Dharma Projita Kaitava, which kicks out Kaitava Dharma, cheating Dharma. What is cheating dharma? Guru told us, he taught us that cheating dharma is four types. Dharma, kama, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. These are kaitava chatushtra. The four types of cheating religion. Why are they cheating? They're cheating because they're paitiki seva. They're sabupadika priti. There's some kind of priti, some kind of affection is there, some kind of service is there. But that priti is with some upadi, some designation. I'm doing it for a reason. Therefore, it's paitiki priti. It's paitiki dharma. But that's cheating. So the Bhagavatam establishes what is real dharma. Savaya pumsam, paro dharma, yato bhaktya bhoksajya, vaitiki tiyatayyakasubhusiyati. It means worship of the Lord, not worship of the devatas. And for it to really be paro dharma, it should be avaitiki and apatiyata. It's not vaitiki seva, it's avaitiki. It's not with the motivation, it's without the motivation. Oh Prabhuji, I'll stay in the ashram and I'll come to Mungawati every day and I'll do very nice service, but you need to give me 5,000 rupees a month. And if you do that, then I'll be very enthusiastic and I'll come and do that thing. That's paitiki seva. And if you stop giving them money, then they'll say, oh, I'm very sorry, but I can't stay anymore. I have to go somewhere else. It's patiyata. It has some end to it because it has a motivation. But it should be amaitiki and apatiyata, without an end and without any motivation. So how many people are worshipping the Lord in that way? Practically no one. And such a person is a sincere person. They may be doing it out of karta vibhuti, but that karta vibhuti is a better motivation than maya and asha, because it's not so selfish. It's religion. I'm doing this because I'm a religious person and I should do this. There's no personal motivation. Whether I get money or I don't get money, whether I get a wife or get a job or get this thing or that thing, I'm still going to do this because I should do this. I have a sense of duty. That person is a more high class person. But still, that's not what pleases Krishna. And that person is not going to attract Krishna. So this verse, in this verse, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says, describes four stages of bhakti. The first is rati. For someone, they develop some taste to hear about Krishna. They have some attraction to the Lord, some fondness. The second stage is prema. That's indicated in this verse. Ecstatic love. That comes after one develops some taste. So Bhaktivinoda says four stages in bhakti, four motivations in bhakti. Vaya, asha, karta vibhuti, and rag. This rag means rati. If someone has some spontaneous attraction for it, it's such a nice process. I don't know if they're a pure devotee or not. I don't know if Prajumna is a pure devotee, if he's a Mahabhagavan, if he's not a Mahabhagavan, but I don't care. Because when he speaks something from the Bhagavatam, I like it. I'd like to hear the Bhagavatam. And he's not an envious person. He's not criticizing other people. So I'd like to come and hear them. What does it matter if we have some kind of test? Well, I'm not going to listen to class, Prabhu, unless you're an absolute pure devotee. No. Satam prasangam mama virasangam. Bhavanti vipkarna rasayanakata. This is rasayanakata. This is the medicine. And we want to hear it. Satam prasangam. Huh? That sitam prasangam means we want to hear from a pure devotee, a satjana. And the second meaning, I think we discussed this earlier, is a sitam prasangam means that I want to hear pure Krishna katha. And that's also very relishable. Even if it's not from a pure devotee, we get pleasure from it. Even when you speak amongst our god brothers with some other person, and we may not be high-tech Mahabhagavan acharyas who know everything, but there's some relishment to share Krishna katha if we're speaking something pure. But on the other hand, even if Srila Prabhupada is speaking, but if Prabhupada, you may be recording the Prabhupada's discussion, if Prabhupada's talking to some person on the street, and he's asking them, so how many children do you have? What village are you from? How old are you? Do you still have all your teeth? Is your digestion good? We won't be very interested to play that tape, that recording, again and again. Even though Srila Prabhupada is speaking that thing, we may get some kind of inspiration, but not for very long, because we want to hear Srila Prabhupada speak about Krishna Kata. And especially, we don't want just the tongue sangam, we want prasangam. We also spoke about this evening. Vishnu says, why the prefix pra is there before sangam? Why not just satam sangam? He says there's a difference. There's satam sangam and satam prasangam. Satam sangam means some katha where they tell you, Abhinash, you should come to Mangal Arti. You should be a vegetarian. Don't eat eggs. Very bad. Don't eat ice cream with eggs in it. And be honest. Tell the truth. Be nice to your sister and your mother. And chant your rounds. And this is Satam Sangam. This is good katha. It's important to be a vegetarian. But Prabhupada, he wants, the devotees told him, Prabhupada, the London Vegetarian Society, they want you to come and give a class. And Prabhupada, then he asked the devotees, he said, do they want to hear about Krishna? He said, no, I don't think so, Prabhupada. They want to hear about vegetarianism. And Prabhupada said, then why will we go? The rabbits and monkeys are also vegetarian. They can invite a rabbit to give a class. Or a vegetarian. What is the necessity for Srila Prabhupada to do? We want to speak about Krishna. Prabhupada, in one lecture, he said that we are not vegetarian. We are Krishnarian. Because we eat prasad. We don't care if you eat meat or if you eat non-vegetarian, you eat vegetarian things. We don't care about that. Our thing is we should be Krishnans. You should eat Krishna prasad. You know a very shocking thing? First thing is not so shocking. The second thing is. First thing is, you know that road that goes from the boat got in Mayapur, only that road, you may know, was built by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Of course, it's called Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Mark. And that was built for the government of West Bengal, one Western man, and he came. You may know that. He came to the mud. So to greet him properly with respect, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta built that road. But one thing that many devotees don't know, very shocking thing. When that governor of West Bengal came, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta arranged for meat to be brought from Calcutta. And it was served to him at the temple. Not in the temple, I don't think. But on the temple premises. Because that was his conviction. More important that this man comes here and chants Hare Krishna and sees the temple and appreciates something than even if he's a vegetarian. Because we're not here to promote vegetarianism. Our purpose is to promote Krishna. And Prabhupada said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said a similar thing, that even if they can't be vegetarian, I'll give them meat. I'll give them wine. But I'll have them chant Hare Krishna. And everything will be okay. That's our program. We're not worried by this Vaya or Asha. We're not even worried about this Kartika Bhuti. You have to follow all these rules and regulations and this and that and the other, which everyone in Orissa has this disease. I know. Because everyone here, they're affected by the Pori Pandas and the smart as well. I'm smarter than you are. I'm a better smart than you. They have that kind of disease. We have other disease in America. It's a worse disease. We come from. I can't criticize your disease. But that goes on here. So, in the beginning, Vishnu says in this verse, Evam Prasana Manasura. We develop some fondness. He says this is indicated by the phrase, Evam Prasana Manasura. You get some pleasure in the mind. It's a nice thing to chant Hare Krishna. And then, what comes very shortly after that,
prema.
And that's indicated in this verse, he says, by the words, Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga Taha. Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga Taha means yoga, connecting with Bhagavan through bhakti. And that connection with the Lord, that service means prema, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And then what happens after that? That's not the end. Prema bhakti yaha hoiti avijarana sayati. Oh, I want to get rid of my avidya. I want Krishna prema, prema dhana vina vyarta village jivan dasa kori deita mori deha prema dhana. Please make me your servant. Give me this Krishna prema. That's very good. That's a very nice thing. But that also is not our work. We desire something. And Vishwanath says that the words Bhagavat Tattva Vigyanam in this verse, the words Vigyanam, the word Vigyanam means experience. Prabhupada, in his synonyms, he says that Vigyanam means scientific knowledge. And he says this in the purport too, twice. He says that scientific knowledge of Sri Krishna is only understood by the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga. He's following Vishwanath's commentary. And what is that scientific knowledge? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, atta darshan. It means seeing Krishna directly, face to face. Our goal is not just to have prema. But the gopis, they want to see Krishna. They're not satisfied just with having ecstatic love. They want to see the Lord. So Vishwanath says that the words Bhagavat Tattva Vigyanam means Atta Darshan. That after prema comes, darshan comes, vision of the Lord. Prabhupada again, twice in his purport, he indicates that. The fact is, however, one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of the Brahman. It means some scientific stage. And that scientific stage, Vijnanam, Vijnanam means something which is realized. Bhagavatapta Vijnanam means that they're actually seeing the Lord. This is Rajavidya. This is really the highest knowledge. It's Rajaguyam. It's the most confidential thing. Pavitam idam uttamam. It's a supremely purifying thing. If one can have darshan of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, that's a supremely purifying thing. But pratyaksa bhavam dharma. This is also pratyaksa. It's vijnanam. Vijnanam and pratyaksa means more or less the same. Something we've practically realized. It's not theoretical. And that's the difference between Krishna consciousness and religion. Prabhupada didn't come to establish a religion. We might make it into a religion. And this is the temple that Gaurgavinda Maharaj founded, and here's his samadhi, and for the low, low price of only this much rupees, you can also become a Pandita Sevak member, or what do you call it? A
Life member?
Yeah, but they have another one.
Sudama
Nitya Seva, because everybody in Orissa has no money. So you can, no problem, Sudama Nitya Seva, and then you'll be a member, yes. And every time we have a festival, we just talk about, and Guru Gaurgavinda Maharaj made this temple in Prabhupada, and he did it for us, and so that we can do this. And we, it's like a church, it's a religion, and that's going on. But it's not the way Prabhupada made this thing. Krishna consciousness is a much, much deeper thing. Hinduism was already there. In Puri, they're better religionists than we are. Much better. They're so expert at taking money from people. In Puri, they're more expert than our, they're better than any life membership, the devotees, isn't it? The Pandas in Puri, they're the best life membership. They know how to get so much money. They know how to run that temple. They tell people you have to come because today is Makara Sankranti, and it's a very auspicious day, and if you come for darshan this day, Punarjanmanavidyate, you won't take birth again, take bath first in the ocean, and do this ritual, and come, of course, the pandas have to touch you on the head, and chant a mantra, and do this thing, and then the most important thing is a bakshish. You have to give it. They have this down very, very good. It wasn't necessary for Srila Prabhupada to do something like that. And they also chant Hare Krishna. That's going on in the Jagannath Temple and in Orissa and in India, all over India. People in different places are chanting Hare Krishna. It wasn't a new thing. The Prabhupada came with the chanting Hare Krishna. So what was it that Srila Prabhupada came to give that was so different? He came to give us Bhagavata Vigyan. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not the International Society for Krishna Dharma, or the International Society for Religious Consciousness, for Krishna Consciousness. Ramar spoke about this many times. He said that it means it's a society, the purpose of the society was to bring together people, A, for the purpose of helping them become Krishna conscious, and B, for people who are Krishna conscious to associate together. And they're the real members of the society. And all the buildings and all the festivals and all the life membership things and all the managers and whatever, without that Krishna consciousness, they're not real members. They're just some external thing. Wherever we go in the world, we people always come and they cry. Oh, Prabhuji, you don't know the manager, they did this thing, and they're not letting the Matajis go on the altar, and they're saying this and this, and Prabhupada didn't really, it's very bad. Everyone's always complaining. And they tell me, why are you complaining about it? They're not Krishna consciousness. They're not ISKCON. There's some other thing, they're doing the management. Let them do that. Because if you don't let them do that, then you may have to do that. Avinash. Don't criticize Pradyumna. Don't do it. He's doing his service. Maybe he's not perfect. Maybe sometimes he makes some mistakes. Does he ever make a mistake? Never. I think he sometimes makes mistakes. But even if he makes some mistakes, maybe he gets angry at you for no good reason, starts shouting at you or something. Still, even if he's not perfect, you should respect him. Because your Guru Maharaj told him to do this service. So he's gotten that. So let him have that headache. And then you can do your bhajan. You don't have to do it. Let him have the anxieties. He has to pay the bills. He has to worry who's going to do this service and that service. Let him cry. Then you can cry for Krishna. Let him cry for the management. So we should see like that. Why should we be envious of someone who has headaches? And has anxiety. Why do we want to fight? Well, I want those anxieties. Give them to me. And maybe Krishna will say, okay, you really want that? Avinash, you can be in charge. Yes. Just like once Madhu Mangal. We tell this story sometimes. Once Madhu Mangal. He was watching and seeing everybody in Braj giving Krishna ladus and bhanka. And he went to him and said, hey, Kanu, this is not good. Why is everyone giving you all the ladus and the makan? You're just a Vaishya. I'm a Brahmin. You see? They should be giving these things to me. Krishna says, you should serve the Brahmins. I've been watching, and I realize the reason is because you're so attractive with that peacock feather and with that dhoti and carrying your bhamsi. Honey, you're my good friend. Will you give those to me today so I can use them? She said, yes, why not? The custom. So he gave that bhamsi, a peacock feather, a dhoti to Madhu Mangal. And the Madhu Mangal started going around, and people looking at him, they thought that it was Krishna. And they were giving him makkan and ladus, and Madhu Mangal was very happy. It was a very, very good day. Huh? Meanwhile, in Mathura, Kamsa, he wanted to kill Krishna. He called for Keshi. You go to Braj and kill the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. What does he look like? Peacock feather, flute, yellow dhoti. Yes, boss. Uh-huh. And so they went. Who did he meet? Madhu Mangal. And Casey started making the sound and running to Madhu Mangal. And Madhu Mangal was terrified. And he started running in case she came and just kicked near him. He didn't touch Mani. But the air from Keshi's feet pushed Madhumangala and threw him so far. And he landed, and Madhumangala started crying. He went to see Krishna and said, I don't want this anymore. So you'll be like that, Abhinav. We want that thing. I want to be the manager. I want to be the Swami. Yes, I can preach better than all those people. I know more verses than them. I'm a disciple of Gaurav and Maharaj. What are they doing? I'll go and I'll do this thing. But then Maya comes like the Keshi demon. She gives you a big kick. And then you start crying. I don't want this stuff there anymore. I don't want these things. You give them up and put them white again. And it happens so many times. So we should respect those persons who are doing their services given by Guru and Krishna, not be envious. It's very low class. So Vishwanath says, Rati, Prema, Atadarshanam. This verse first indicates some fondness, some taste. Secondly, it indicates Krishna praying. Now, what does that Krishna praying do? It attracts Krishna. Krishna becomes attracted by it. Atta darshanam. And then what happens after that? More again. Hare madhuryanubhava. Hare madhuryanubhava means that someone directly experiences Krishna's sweetness. And sometimes people, they try to accomplish these four different stages in some mechanical way. We don't hate them for that. That's their business. They can do as they like. But we say that all that's necessary is the one meaning. Name kasvati tohoi rupa guna karma. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says in Hariyam Chintamani, that if you just chant the holy name, then root, guna, karma. These four things will come automatically from the holy name. First you'll see Krishna, root. The next thing is guna. You'll realize Krishna's qualities. You'll smell the wonderful fragrance of Krishna's body. You'll see the wonderful beauty of Krishna. And you'll see, you'll understand then after that karma, Krishna's pastimes. You'll see his loving dealings with the Brijvasis, the Gopis, Mother Yashoda, and the Maharaj. And all these things will come from the holy name. Because Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. It doesn't say Siddhapanali, 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 Eva Kevalam. I'm telling you that. It says Harinama, Harinama. This is our pramana. You show me one place, just one place, where in our Goswami literatures they say that you have to do Siddha Pranama. You won't find even one place. Mountain Das Thakur was doing that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also had Siddha Pranama from different Vihari Goswami. We don't hate that. We don't criticize that. But we understand that it comes from the Holy Name. There's one such person who had this experience. He lived in the 1800s in Braj, in Madhuban. Pradoshanai, we visited his ashram before, not to remember. He had a very beautiful picture that he used to worship of Gaur Nityananda Advaita. We have that same picture in our altar. His name was Krishna Das Baba, and he wrote a very nice song, which also coincidentally I never tried to run after this Baba, but somehow he's come to us in the form of that picture, and also in the form of the song that he wrote. Devi Govardhani Adoti Mehari Radhika Madhavani Chalire, which we sing every day as part of Giri Rajarti. So anyway, he lived in the 1800s. Not much is known about him. We don't know who his guru was, or the place that he belonged to before he came to Madhuban. But he was in the line of Ganga Mata Vishramani. We know that. He came to Braj, and he was doing his Nam Bhajan. He was standing there in the hut on the side, of what's that place that Kamiman, I said Madhavan, not Kamiman. What's the lake there? Remember that lake we went to? We stayed with that other Baba on the side of it. The horrible music every morning. And there's a very nice lake. So he was this Krishna Baba. He was standing on the edge of that lake. And he was doing his Nambhajan. And naturally, doing his Nambhajan, he was going through different stages in his heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says there's 8 stages which correspond with the Hare Krishna mantra. And they correspond with the 8 different stages. This Hare Krishna mantra corresponds to the 8 different stages described by Rupa Goswami in his famous verse of Dosha, Dita, Sadhu, Sangha, which indicates 8 different stages all the way up to Krishna Prema. So he'd come to a very high advanced stage, Yugaitam Nimishina, Chakshusha Pravishaitam, Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam, Govindade, where he was crying for Krishna. We were discussing this yesterday, Krishna crying. Krishna doesn't come to everyone. Who is Krishna coming for? Krishna comes before those persons who cry for him. And there's a story that we told in this regard that there was one man who called for his wife one morning, "Hey, wife, I have to go. I'm going to come back sometime later this morning with some important friends. So you please cook a very nice feast for everyone." So this woman, she had 2 little boys. One little boy was 5 years old, and the other was a little baby, just a few months old. So it's difficult for her. So she went in the kitchen, she started cooking, and the little baby started crying. He was wanting his mother. And so the mother couldn't concentrate very well. She was disturbed. So she told the 5-year-old, "You go, take these few rupees, and you go down in the shop in the corner here. There, I saw there's one red toy with some bells on it. You go purchase that and bring it back." So the little boy did that and brought it back. And the mother gave the little toy to the baby. And the baby started playing with it. And he forgot all about his mother. And he stopped crying. He was just playing with the little toy. But then after 45 minutes or so, again he started missing his mother and started crying. And then the mother came and she picked up the toy and started doing something else with it. Gave it back to the baby. And again the baby was entertained by the toy and forgot about his mother. And then after some time, the mother was cooking, the baby started becoming very hungry. And the baby, the mother came again, and the baby was crying, she gave him back the toy, and then the baby threw the toy. "I don't want the toy." And started screaming and crying very loud. And the mother knew, "Now I have to stop cooking. I have to go and take care of it." So in the same way, Krishna's like that. Krishna, he's spending his time with the Vrindavasis and the other wonderful devotees in the spiritual world. And he sees that we're crying. We're doing some Nambhajan. And he sees, "Oh, they're bothering me. So let me go, I'll give them a little toy. I'll give them an AC toy. I'll give them a nice computer toy. I'll give them a wife toy, or a husband toy, or a baby toy, or a new car toy." And then we stop crying, we have our little toy. And we're entertained by it. And we forget all about the Lord. But when that feeling comes in our heart, that "I don't want any toys. I'm sick of all these toys," and we throw them. "To hell with all these toys. I want you." And we start crying. That's prema. That's a kantik. I don't want anything else. And this is what Vishwanath is saying. This comes after the stage of rati. We have some taste. And we've given up all lower things. Then at that time, love for Krishna comes. And that's symptomized by the devotee being very one-pointed. He's not taking shelter of anything else. He has no interest in anything material. No attraction. He doesn't see those material things as solutions anymore. He only sees Krishna and begins to cry. So this Krishna Das Baba of Kamiran was like that. He was crying for Krishna. Yugayitam Nimishyam Chakshusham Pravishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vidahim considering a moment to be like 12 years of separation from Krishna. So he was standing there in his bhajan kutir and doing his bhajan. He was crying.
Bimala Kumbh.
And he had a very simple life, but there was one annoyance that used to be there. Some of the boys, just like we've experienced this sometimes at Govinda Kumbh, some of the young Vrijvasi boys are very naughty. They'll come. I remember once we were giving some class there underneath this big mandarin tree, and one of the boys climbed the tree and started breaking branches and throwing them down and started hitting the devotees with them during the class. They were very naughty. So similarly, some of the local boys, they used to harass this Baba and tease him and bother him, and it was an annoyance to him. He didn't care, but he cared in the sense very much. It was disturbing his bhajan. So one day, he was there in his hut. He was crying after Krishna. And just at that time, a large number of gopas, cowherd boys, Raj, they came with their cows, the Bimala Kumbh, to get cow to water the cow. And they went and they started knocking on the Baba's door. Hey, Baba, come. And always they were teasing him and harassing him. So Krishnadas Baba just ignored them. And they kept knocking. Hey, Baba. And he became really angry finally. And they're saying, Baba, we're thirsty. Give us some water, Baba. Give us some water. So finally, he came outside to see those boys, very, very angry. And those boys, they started shouting at him, well, Baba, what kind of bhajan are you doing? You have no heart. You're supposed to have a heart. You're doing bhajan. You should have some feelings for others. We're thirsty. How is it you can turn away a thirsty person from the door? So then the Baba finally opened the door with a stick in his hand. Chastising. But then he saw those boys. They're Vrijvasi boys. They're very beautiful. The cows are very beautiful. And his anger went away. And he saw one of those boys. He had a very beautiful turban on his head. He had a peacock feather. Turban. And he asked him, what's your name? Where do you live? And that boy said, my name is Khan. And I live in Nandagam. And then the Baba asked another boy who was standing next to him, what's your name? Oh, Baba, my name is Baladev. And this Khan, he said, oh, Baba, please give us some water. We're very thirsty. So that Baba, he's a very simple sadhu. We didn't have any dishes or anything like that, cups or anything to give them. So the boys, they just held out their hands. And the Baba, he took his karava, his water pot, and started pouring water in the hands of the boys. And that Kanu, he was holding his hands out like this, and the Baba was pouring the water in his hands. And the Baba was looking, he wasn't looking at his hands or the water, he was just looking at the face of Krishna. And Krishna wasn't looking at the water in his hands, he was just looking at the face of that Baba. He was looking at each other. And meanwhile, the water started pouring off his hands, And all the boys, they started laughing and clapping their hands, When they saw that. And then they noticed. And then they come and they said, hey Baba, we come from a long distance every day. And every time we have to go back thirsty. So every day we come, you please give us something to drink, something to eat. And the Baba, he said, no, don't bother me. I'm doing my bhajan. Don't disturb me again. He didn't recognize who that boy was. The Krishna's yoga mat. He closed the door. But he closed that door, and somehow that boy didn't go away. The door was closed, and he couldn't see him anymore, but he was still seeing him in his eye, in his heart. He couldn't, that the vision of the face of that boy just wouldn't go away from his mind and his heart. It was there. And finally, after a moment, he again opened the door to see him. It was just one moment. He was astonished. All those boys were gone. And he went looking around Bimala Kumbh. They wanted to be found anywhere. All the cows were gone. And then he realized who they were. And he looked down there on the ground, and all there was a puddle of water. Some water that was left, and he was pouring the water out in the boy's hand. there was a fragrance, a very wonderful fragrance in the air that drove him mad. And he realized that that was Krishna Balaram. So that Baba was known as Jai Krishna Das Baba. He became famous as a Siddha Mahatma. When a devotee has Krishna Prema, Krishna will come to them. It's not that you have to pray to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, please, I want to see you. I want to have your darshan. Even if you see Krishna, you won't appreciate him. The washerman in Krishna Lila, when he entered Mathura, he saw one washerman who was carrying cloth for Kamsa. Why did Krishna take clothes from him? Those are Kamsa's clothes. Why is Krishna taking Kamsa's clothes? Why does Krishna need to dress up differently? This pastime has a deep purpose. First of all, Krishna is no longer in Braj. His Braj Vesh, his dress, is a Navanita, a fresh youth, as a young cowherd boy. It's not appropriate in Mathura. They won't appreciate it. They won't understand it. Because Jai Rupa Jinti Dasi, Sei Rupa Hoy. According to the way a person conceives the Lord manifests himself accordingly. And that Braj Vesh that Krishna had is not appropriate in Mathura. Because they don't have that bhav. They have another mood, which is mixed with Gyan and Aishwarya. So he had to dress in a very opulent way, like a king. So for that reason, he stopped that washerman to take Kamsa's clothes. There's another purport also. Why did he take Kamsa's clothes? He's giving a message to Kamsa. What is that message? That message is that we have upadis. Those upadis, those designations, are like dress. Those upadis, those designations, are the identification of who we are. It means our material body, our material conception. They're taking away Kamsa's dress. Krishna's giving him a message. Krishna, our Kamsa, I'm taking away your clothes. In the same way, I'm going to take away all your upadis by taking away your material body and killing it. That was the message that Krishna gave to Kamsa when he entered Mathura. And he killed that washerman. Why did he kill that washerman? That washerman must have been some special person. He had darshan of the Lord. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that that washerman was a very special person. In the Garga Sanhita, it's also described, it said that he was the washerman in Ram Lila who criticized Sita. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it said that after that, he wanted to have darshan of the Lord. He didn't appreciate Lord Ramachandra in Treta Yuga. And that's why he criticized Sita. He was more absorbed in some rules and regulations. Ah, Sita, how can she be chaste? How can you accept a woman who's not chaste? And Sita, she stayed for so many years in Vrindavan, she can't be chaste. So he criticized her. His attachment was greater to rules and regulations than it was to the Lord. Krishna describes this in the Adi Purana. He tells Arjuna, Mannimitam kitam papam amidharmaya kolpate mamana dritya dharmopi papam shanmakravavataha. Someone may be doing dharma, but if they're neglecting me, they're not thinking of my heart. Savai pung sam paro dharma yato bhaktir hokshade ahoitikiya patiyata. They're not thinking of my desire. Then their so-called dharma becomes pop. That washerman actually was a sinful person. Although he was doing some dharma, and although he had the sukriti, the good fortune to take birth in Ayodhya during Ram Raja, the rule of Lord Ramachandra, he criticized Sita. But he was a pious person, and he wanted to have darshan of the Lord. He wanted to see Bhagavan. And so Vrindavan Das Thakur says that he did austerities for thousands of years. And the result of those austerities was he had darshan of Krishna.
in Mathura. An amazing thing. But what was the benefit of that darshan? He was killed by the Lord. He couldn't appreciate this Harer Madhuryanubhava that Vishnu Chakravarti talks about. He had darshan of the Lord by some good fortune. But he didn't have this Harer Madhuryanubhava, this experience of Krishna's sweet qualities. He saw him as a young ruffian, budmash, rascal. What are you trying to take the clothes of the king? Nonsense. You have no right to do that. And Krishna killed him. With a karate chop. Cut off his head. So he had the good fortune of having darshan of the Lord. But because he didn't have prema, he didn't have love for the Lord, then he couldn't appreciate the Lord's qualities. So Krishna, he's attracted by that love. You can do austerities for the purpose of seeing the Lord. But even if you get to see the Lord, the result won't be a favorable one. The result may be something like that washerman who was simply killed by the Lord. On the other hand, if you have love for the Lord, then the Lord can't keep away. Krishna, he's always following the gopis. He's always following Radharani. He's like a madman. He's going and spying on her always. He goes to her courtyard and he stands outside in the courtyard all night long. And sometimes he makes a little noise. And Jatila, who's that out there? Someone out there? And Krishna's very afraid. He's standing out there all night just in the hopes that he can see Radharani. He wants to appear before his devotees who have praying. You don't have to dial his phone number and call him. He'll come running to you because Krishna becomes bound up by that love. Sada muktopi bhadrosam bhaktena sneha rajubi ajitopi jitoham tairashapi visikritam haribhakti suradoya. Krishna says to Kalad Maharaj that I'm liberated. There's no question of me being bound up by you. But still, I become bound up by the rope of love of my devotees. So when someone comes to that platform of praying, then they have direct realization of Krishna. And that's guru. Bhagavatam describes 11th canto, chapter 3, text 21. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jidnasu shre utam shabde parichanishnatam vamanu pashamashya. This verse, very important verse, Prabhupada translates it. One who is searching for the ultimate truth must surrender to a guru who knows the inner meaning of the Vedas, especially the absolute truth, and is expert in the Shastra. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this verse indicates two things. It indicates Sishya Lakshana, the qualities of a bona fide Sat-Sishya, and it indicates Sadguru Lakshana, the qualities of a bona fide Guru. The qualities of the bona fide disciple are Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jignasu Shreya Uttam, that he surrenders Prapadyeta to Guru. You have to surrender, and you have to be Jignasu, you have to be inquisitive. But inquisitive, not just in anything, not that, oh Gurudev, I have problems, my parents want me to go to school, can I please solve my problems, how can I get some money, Gurudev, I really need a wife, can you please find me a wife, oh my guru is very nice, he gave me a very good wife, he gave me a very nice husband. That's not Jignasu Shreya Uttama, that's something else. Shreya Uttam, you should be inquiring about this thing which is a top for your topmost welfare, for your topmost good. And that is the qualities, the lakshana of a satsishya, of a bona fide disciple. He's interested in spiritual life. He inquires from Guru that way. And who is Guru? The second part of the verse describes Sabhe Parichanishnatam Brahmanupasamashrayam. Sabde Parichanishnatam, Jiva Goswami says, means Sabde Brahmani Vedita Parja Vacharaneena nishnatam tatayeva nishtam praktam paribrahmani bhagavadadi rupa vivashiti aparokshana bhava. It means someone who's expert in explaining the purport of the Vedas, which are sabda brahma, which are directly heard, by someone who has direct experience, realization of Parabrahma, Sri Krishna. Jiva Goswami says they're devoid of any material expectations. They're doing seva, but they're not, if Krishna kicks them, they don't complain. If the temple president throws them out of the temple, they don't sue ISKCON. If the guru falls down, they don't criticize ISKCON. Because they have no material expectations from their bhajan. And a person who has no material expectations like that, that person is a pure devotee. That person is guru. They're not complaining about what happens. Someone has no material requirements, he says. That person is a genuine spiritual master. And he says one should take shelter of such a guru through the process of hearing. Not that just by giving money or collecting money or making a show, making the Gorgavinda Swami Sishya Samaj. And who's a member? We have little badges with a picture of Gurudev. We'll make t-shirts that say, Jai Gurudev. And all the members of the Guru Gorgavinda Swami Sishya Samaj, they can have a t-shirt like that. And we'll all jump up and down and say, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev. And I have so much Guru Bhakti. No. We take shelter of Guru through the process of hearing. And hearing means doing what we hear. It means he gives an instruction and we follow the instruction. And he says we hear for the purpose of knowing the truth regarding two things. Sadhana, the means, and sadhya, the goal. That's what I want to hear for. That's why I'm coming to class. That's why I'm approaching Guru. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives another meaning for this Sabde Parichanishnatam Brahmani Pasanasriya. Sabde Brahmani Devi Vedata Parajaganapake Sasha Antaricha Nishnatam Nipunamanyata Sishyasya Samyakcha Sam Saya Chedabhave Vamanyasya Cha Sati Kashya Chit Shraddha Satilyam Api Sambhavet. Pari Brahmani Chanishnatam Aparoksha Anubhava Samartam Anyatata Kripa Samyak Falavati Nasyat. He says that Anyatata Kripa Samyak Falavati Nasyat. That the mercy that a guru gives a disciple won't fructify. Whatever mercy he gives won't properly fructify if he doesn't have these qualifications. What are they? Shabde Brahmani Vedata Parja Yanapake Shastra Antariksha. He has to be fully absorbed in Vedic sound, in spiritual sound, fully absorbed in the holy name. Guru Maharaj, I was there once. Mother Krishna Maharaj was with us in Sikananda Prabhu. In Alachua, Florida, an old friend of ours, a friend of mine, came to me. I want to talk to you, Guru Maharaj. Yes. Please come. Guru Maharaj, he let us all sit in the room. And this devotee was a Prabhupada disciple, a senior devotee. Said, Maharaj, I have a question for you. I've been a devotee for a long time. I'm here, I've been teaching. I have many students. And, of course, I'm not qualified. But some devotees there encouraging me, some senior devotees. And he mentioned the names of four or five different sannyasis. They've been telling me that I should accept disciples. And I should do. But now, of course, I'm not qualified. I know that. But it would be inspiring for these students that I have if I were to give initiation. So my question for you, Maharaj, I want to know, what is the minimum qualification to be guru? And Guru Maharaj, he told me, the minimum qualification is that when you chant the holy name, nothing else comes in your mind. That's Sabde Brahmani Vedi Vedata Parivyanapake Shastra Anjanicha. Nothing else. Sabde Parichanishnatam Brahman Pasam. He's Brahman Pasam Ashram. He's completely absorbed in Sabde Brahman. Nothing else comes in your mind when you chant the holy name. And that devotee, when the Guru Maharaj said that, he started choking.
Maharaj,
that's a very high stage. I want to know, what is the minimum stage? Please tell me, what is the minimum stage? And my Guru Maharaj said, laughing. He said, Baba, that is the minimum stage. He said, if you're not on that platform, then you may fall down. You have to be completely absorbed. Guru Maharaj said, when you chant, nothing else comes in your mind except the holy name. So Vishwanath says that, and he says that gyapakeya shastra antarecha, he should be fully absorbed in Vedic shastras, and he should be able to be very expert in explaining the inner meaning, antare, of those Vedic literatures. That's a guru. If he can do that, he says then, vaimanasya cha satikasya chit shraddha satilyam api sambhava, then he'll be able to dissipate the doubts of his disciple. He'll be able to make those doubts go away. And if he's not on that platform, we don't hate him. We don't even say he can't be guru. Guru Maharaj said that. I've collected some statements from Guru Maharaj. He said, even someone who's a kanishka, they can be guru. And Prabhupada says it also in Nectar of Instruction. He says, but you should understand they can only give you so much. And Guru Maharaj, even in one lecture, he says, it's okay. They may make further advancement later on. Don't hate them. If someone's taken initiation, you should respect them. Guru Maharaj said that if their guru told them, then they have some right to do that. But once he told the Kinshan Prabhu, Kinshan asked him, he said, Guru Maharaj, were these people bona fide gurus? And Guru Maharaj said, yes, they're bona fide. Prabhupada told them to initiate, so that's their qualification. He said, but they should have waited until they were qualified. They had some order. He said, but they should have waited until they were qualified. They should have waited until they knew shastra. In the language of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, gyapake shastra antarecha. And they know shastra very well, and they're completely absorbed in it. And they're completely absorbed in Sabda Brahma. If they're not absorbed like that, they won't be able to dissipate the doubts of the disciple. And he says then, what will happen? That disciple will become dejected. He'll become sad, disturbed, melancholy. He'll have doubts in his mind. And you won't be able to progress properly. We tell people many times, they're not raping you. They're not forcing you to accept someone's guru. You're doing it. You're accepting them. It's your fault. You accepted her as your wife, your husband, your guru. You made a promise, so you do that. But I no longer have faith in them. If you don't have faith, you're in big trouble. Because faith is the beginning. That's the we may have a we want to make a building. This is a very nice big building. So you get first class cement to make this building. And you get good quality sand. The sand, if it has stones in it, it won't be so strong. You want very good quality sand. So you get good quality sand, and good quality concrete. We're like that sand. We're dull creatures. And Gurudev, he's like nice concrete, and he's very powerful. But even if you have a nice guru, and even if you have good quality sand, good quality cement, you can't have a building without the presence of a third ingredient. And that third ingredient seems like a very common thing we don't pay attention to. Water. We don't pay attention. That's not such an important thing. But if you don't have water, how will the sand and the cement bind together? And that water is our faith. If you don't have faith in your guru, what can you do? Jiva Goswami says an interesting thing in this connection in Bhakti Sundarva. He says that what if a disciple takes initiation from someone in the beginning with the conviction that this person is a pure devotee and is Krishna's representative. Krishna has come to me in the form of this person. This is my guru. That's their conviction in the beginning. But then after some time, for some reason, they lose faith in that person. Jiva Goswami says, what should they do? He doesn't say they should reject that person. What he says is, Because they're in big trouble then. How are they going to act? Because that guru, Acharya Mataje Sei Matasar, our sar, our life, the essence of us, is Acharya Mata, the instruction from our Gurudev, the mood, the opinion of our Gurudev. That's the essence of everything for us. But if you no longer have faith in it, how can you live? How will that person be your guru? He gave you a mantra that may be one thing, but you can't accept instruction from him anymore. And you may even have doubts in the mantra. So Jiva Goswami says, he doesn't say to take mantra again. The person may do that, but they don't have faith in that mantra, they may do. But Jiva Goswami says they should go to someone else they have faith in. Because that faith is so very, very important. Vishwanath, in his purport, he says that if that guru is not on that platform of realization, then he won't, he's not sufficiently skilled in explaining the inner meaning of the shastras, then he won't be able to dissipate the doubts of the disciple, and the disciple will become depressed, they'll be full of doubts, and there'll be a diminution of his faith. And he says, if that guru is not capable, he says, Paribrahmanicha nishnatam aparoksha anubhava samartam anyata tatkripa sinyakfalabhati nishnatam. If he's not capable of direct spiritual perception, directly seeing Krishna, then whatever mercy he bestows won't properly fructify. Guru Maharaj, I remember he was speaking this years ago. He was saying quote in the Gita, this is a qualification of Guru. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevya upadikshandite jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshana. The Guru is tatpadarshi. It means someone who sees Krishna. And some devotees became disturbed by that. Some leading devotees. They said, no, tatpadarshi means someone who goes out and sells books on the street. Someone who does sankirtan. Because they see the truth that we should preach. That's one understanding. But Sridhar Swami, the author of the Bhagavad Deepika commentary and the Bhagavatam, he says the tatpadarshi means aparokshana bhava sampana. He uses the exact same words that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur uses in this commentary. Aparokshana bhava sampana means that someone sampana whose gain is attained, aparokshana bhava, direct perception of Krishna. Therefore, this verse we're reading from today, it said that Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, direct perception of the Supreme Lord, this thing will come. And that person who has that, that's Sadguru. Prabhupada also speaks about this in one conversation in Detroit. He said, Yashadevi Parab Bhakti, Yatadevi Dita Guru. That's the secret of success. If one has got unflinching faith in his Guru in Krishna, then he's successful. He has to have unflinching faith. Two things. Guru Krishna Kripaya Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. So if the Guru is false, Prabhupada says, then how can they keep their faith? That will be broken. Prabhupada says, our process is very simple. There's no difficulty. And this connection is an interesting story. A little shocking story. There's a number of stories we could tell this actually. That faith is so important. We should have such faith in our Guru. Yasya Devi Parag Bhakti Yata Devi Ta Guru. Whatever faith you have in your Guru, you'll have the same kind of faith in Krishna. There's a story in the Upanishads of one prostitute who's living in the edge of a village. A nasty person. Always selling her body for money, doing so many terrible things. She wasn't a religious person. And meanwhile, there was a sadhu who also lived not so far away from her. And that sadhu, he was always criticizing a very bad woman. But that woman, although she was a prostitute, she had great respect for that sadhu. And she was always thinking of him. And by thinking of that sadhu, she became purified. And one day she came to that sadhu and she cried, Maharaj, please accept me as your disciple. Please give me initiation. And that guru, he looked at her. She's not going to fight. And he told her, what's it called, a dinghy?
Yeah.
Dinghy?
Yeah.
So he said, please give me mantra. Yeah, okay. I'll give this mantra, dinghy dinghy. This is your mantra. What does dinghy mean?
To grind the...
To smash
the... Grind of paddy. Yeah.
That's a thing, right? It's like the stick.
Also, yes.
It's also like the stick they use to crush that paddy. Yeah. So she started, wow, so much. She thought the dinghy must be a name for Krishna. She didn't know what dinghy is. And so she started chanting, dinghy, 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 dinghy. Like this, huh? Then she was thinking of Krishna. Because she thought this is a name for Krishna. Yashadevi para bhakti yata devi tagu. She had absolute faith in her guru. And because of that absolute faith, she went into samadhi. She became very advanced. One day, there was a heavy rain, and there was a flood. And everything became underwater. And that sadhu, he was he climbed to the top of a tree. And he was sitting in this tree. And after some time sitting in the tree, suddenly you hear a sound coming. And it was getting a little louder and louder. It was coming closer. And that prostitute was coming. And she was sitting on a log. And she was completely in samadhi. She'd been sitting on that log, and she started doing her dinghy bhajan. And she was so absorbed, she didn't even notice the rainfall. And she didn't even notice the flood. And the water just picked up the log that she was sitting on. And she was just chanting, she didn't even notice that she was floating in this log. And the sadhu saw her. She's on the platform of samadhi. She is more advanced than her guru. Because yesterday we heard bhakti of the devi guru, she had absolute faith in her guru. This is also described by Sanatana Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas, where it's described there about Sishya Lakshana, what is the quality of the Sishya. And he says there that avidyoga, suvidyoga, guru eva janana, margo sto vyakti margo sto, guru eva paramati. That this is the attitude of a disciple. This is not guru lakshana. This is sishya abhimana. Sorry, not sishya lakshana, but sishya abhimana. The attitude of a disciple. It's not the quality of a guru, but it's a disciple's attitude. Avidyoga, savidyoga. Whether my Gurudev knows or doesn't know, whether he knows Shastra or doesn't know Shastra, whether he knows Krishna or doesn't know Krishna, Guru Eva Janardana, he's God. Margosto, Vyapya Margosto, whether he's situated in the proper path or not situated in the proper path, Guru Eva Parangati, he's my everything. I remember quoting this verse to one devotee who was a good guy in Vrindavan. He got very excited and disturbed. My God, how can you say that? That's completely bogus. I said, please excuse me. I'm not saying it. Sanatana Goswami is saying it. Hari Bhakti Vilas. That's not the quality of a guru. No, it's not the quality of a guru. That's the attitude of a disciple. How can a disciple have an attitude like that? It's like your parents. My mother and my father, they weren't even vegetarian. But they're my parents. They gave birth to me. They cleaned my stool when I was a baby. They fed me. They took care of me. How can I criticize them? How can I hate them? They're my parents. I'll be a demoniac person if I reject them. It's a very bad thing. So similarly, your Gurudev, Guru Mata, Guru Pita, Guru Hanupati, he's your mother, your father, your husband, your everything, because he gave you mantra. He gave you Krishna. You may reject your guru. If you don't have faith in him, what can you do? But how can you reject the mantra? Yo mantra sa guru sakshat, yo guru sahari swayam. Haribhakti Vilasa also says that mantra is none different from Krishna. How can I reject Krishna? Krishna comes to my door. No, go away. I don't want to see you. Someone gave me who's not a bona fide person. I went, no. Krishna is there in the mantra. How can you reject that? If you don't have faith in that anymore, then what can you do? But Guru Maharaj, he didn't give reinitiation to everyone. He had a number of disciples. Mahashakya is not initiated by Guru Maharaj. Ananta is not initiated by Guru Maharaj. Aloka Vrindavan was not initiated by Guru Maharaj. Praying for religion wasn't initiated by Guru Maharaj. The Guru Maharaj told all of them, you're my disciple. And some of them approached him privately, please give me initiation. And he said, it's not necessary. Even once one of them said, I know my Guru is not following, but I said, it's okay. As far as everyone is concerned, he is following. So it's not necessary. But if someone doesn't have faith in them, they don't have faith in their mantra, they don't have faith in the person who gave them, then they can take it and gave them mantra again. So there's no fault in that. It needs to be like that. So then we have to have absolute faith with the Guru. And if we have that absolute faith, we have that absolute faith in the mantra that he's given us, then we become dvija. Whereby, maybe we don't have absolute faith, but if we have gotten that mantra, then we become dvijanma. But that means diksha. That's a dvija. That person has dvijanma, he's a dvija. He's a twice-born person because he has that mantra from the Guru. They have second initiation. They have second birth. So, don't criticize such a person who gave that to us. But if we don't have proper faith, then we have to do something else. So these stages are there. And a devotee who's practicing bhakti comes to the platform of prema. Krishna will appear before them. In his Saranga-Rangada Tika of Krishna Karnamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes three stages in the Lord manifesting himself to someone. He says, first of all, he appears in the consciousness very quickly, a spurt, just. And then there's a confused state where you're not really sure, is Krishna there? Is he not there? Is that really Krishna? And then the third state is that you directly see Krishna. This thing is described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his Madhuri Kadambani. He describes nine different stages as parts of ahamkara. He says that ahamkara has two functions. Ahanta means consciousness of me. Ahanta. And mamata, consciousness of mine. This is what belongs to me. I and mine. These are two stages, two functions of ahamkara. And he says that these two things, when they're destroyed by spiritual knowledge, that's liberation. And he says that bondage results from directing these two things, ahanta, conscious of me, and mamata, conscious of mine, toward body, house, and other things. Tava dhugadiya stainas tavat kara graham graham nara mohani vinyani gadro yadha krishna te janaha. But when I praise to Krishna, in the Bhagavatam, my dear Krishna, until people become your devotees, their affection for their family members, their attachment to their house and wife and children, their prisons, their houses are prisons, and their feelings for their family members are shackles binding them to this world. When the ahanta, that attitude of myself, the perception of me, becomes, I'm Guru Das. I'm a servant of my Gurudev. I'm a servant of the Lord. And they make the Lord and the Lord's associates the object of their affections. That is their mamata. That's mine. This is my association. Conscious of the hunter at this point, who am I? I am Gurudas. I'm Krishnadas. I have this conviction. And my mamata, what is mine, becomes more elevated. Mine means my Gurudev, my God brothers, my society. When someone actually does that, in the deepest way, that's prema. Purusharta Chudamani, the precious jewel of everyone. Vishnu says there's different stages of that. In the beginning, one thinks, I'll come to the ashram once in a while, and I'll do some namabhajan, but I can't live without my AC. I can't live without watching movies sometimes. I'm dressing, I like to dress in Western clothes, and I like some nice cakes and pies and things like that. But I'm going to be a Vaishnava, and I'm going to serve the Lord. So, Vishnu says that materialistic concept at that stage, Vahanta and Mamata, is very, very thick. But by the conviction to serve the Lord, that jiva gets a gandha, just a faint scent of spirituality. And he gets a little eligibility for bhakti. Bhakta avidikara, Vishnu says. And then comes sadhu sangha. Before that, I like coming to the temple sometimes. It's nice. I'll come to the ashram once in a while, drive the devotees in the car. I'll do this or that. But then after some time, I become more serious. I want to do sadhu sangha. Then, in association with saintly devotees, people who are serious, and genuine, and sincere, that spiritual trace becomes more condensed. And at that stage, the material aspect is still absolute. Vishnu says it's called ajantiki. The person is still completely absorbed in material affairs. He's still completely absorbed in his ahanta and mamata, in his false ego and false identification, I and mine. He's still at that point. He's having sadhu sangha, but still, it's ajantiki. His absorption in the false ego and material affairs is still unchecked. It's very, very thick. Then comes the platform of Anishita Bhajana Kriya, unsteady bhajan. He says at that point, Ekadesha Vyapini, the ego becomes partially absorbed in something spiritual. Previously, in the previous platform, you have sadhu sangha and you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, but there's no absorption. But then you come a little bit further, and you become, sometimes you get a little bit absorbed. That's Anishita Bhajana Kriya. But the material absorption is still purna. It's still full. You're still completely absorbed in thinking of yourself as your body. Aham Mahabhava. You still have this attitude. This is me. This is mine. And the meditation of the Lord is momentary. And it's mixed with mundane topics. After some time of doing that, Anishita Bhajana Kriya comes Nishita Bhajana Kriya. The platform of Nishita. And then that platform, Vishnu says, the ego's involvement with bhajan becomes more pervasive. He calls it Bahudesha Vyapini. It becomes more absorbed. The ego, I begin to identify more with doing bhajan. I like doing this. I have a relationship with Krishna. This is important to me. This is important in my life. It's not just something that I do sometimes. But this means a lot to me. At that point, he says it's prayiki. The mundane influence is almost full, but it begins just like the moon begins to get smaller after the tornado, little by little. So that absorption in material affairs, material consciousness, goes down a little bit. And he says that when in that platform, it's symptomized that when you're doing bhajan, it's a boss. Sometimes some trace of other topics comes in your mind. It's actually a very elevated platform. This is what we were speaking about. Guru Maharaj said, nothing else comes in your mind. He says, maybe a trace of some other things will come in your mind. Then comes the platform of ruchi. And he says, at this point, the balance is tipped to the spiritual side. The ego of I and mine is nearly spiritualized. Prayiki. He says the materialistic ego is still very pervasive though. Bahudesha Vyagapini, he says. He says the same thing. But in this time there's no distraction and the meditation is long lasting. This is what Guru Maharaj is speaking about, this platform of Ruchi. This is the bare minimum platform. Because otherwise there's a good chance you'll fall down. You can do it. If you've gotten mantra, you can give mantra to someone else. That's what Narada Pancharatra says. It says the qualification of a guru is someone who's gotten mantra, who chants that mantra and wears Vaishnava tila. That's a guru. That's a Pancharatrika description of guru. That's a commonist, but that's not Sadguru. Sadguru is someone who's realized Krishna. And then, after doing bhajan and some time on that platform, Ruchi comes a platform of a sakti. And that platform, the spiritual aspect of Ahanta and Mamata, is complete. It's spiritual. At that point of the sakti, I become attached to Krishna. And I think I'm His. And He's mine. That Ahanta and Mamata becomes Purna. Completely spiritual. And the material aspect is still there though. Even on that platform of sakti, Vishnu says it's ekadesha vyapini. There's something there. There's still some material that is very partial. And the meditation is very deep. Then, after this platform of the sakti, comes the platform of bhava bhakti. At that time, the ego becomes fully absorbed in spiritual identity and a sense of relationship with Krishna. There's nothing else in the mind. Ajantiki. The material consciousness is reduced to an empty shadow. There's still a shadow of it, an abhas of material consciousness. Just like the Vishnu says that the nyaya of waking up from a dream. Mm-hmm. One awakens from a dream. They see the dream is still there before their eyes. Sometimes it's like that. We wake up from a dream and we still think that's going on in front of us. But it's not. It's not the reality. That's called Varitana Vritti Nyaya, the logic of awakening up from a dream. So that happens on the platform of Bhava. And at this stage, he says that as soon as one begins to meditate, immediately they see the Lord. Krishna comes to them. But then Krishna disappears. Just like Krishna appeared before Narad Muni as a young boy. He was serving those Bhaktivedantas and taking the remnants of their food stuff. And at one point, finally, he had darshan of the Lord, but just for a moment. And the Lord disappeared. That's the platform of Bhav Bhakti. It's a very, very elevated platform. But there's something higher than that, which is a platform of prema. And Vishwanath says that platform of prema is when the self-identification, the ahamta, and the mamata, the possessiveness, are completely identified with the spiritual world and they're very thick. They're not just identified with something spiritual, but they're identified with the spiritual world. I belong in the spiritual world. I know my Gurudev's fruit. And I know my Swarup. That's my identity. I am such and such Manjari. My Gurudev is such and such Manjari. I do this service. My Gurudev, she does this service. That's called Paramatyantiki, Vishnu says. The topmost identification. At that point, when the material aspect is completely gone. And he says, then at that time, one's meditation and visions of the Lord become detailed. And they have a true encounter with the Lord. This happens. This is what we have to look forward to. There's a story we heard. We were in Braj a few years ago, Krishna Kunda and I, from when we have a friend who's a pujari from Tota Gopinath for many years. He's a Brahmin from Kauri, but now he's living in Vrindavan. And he told us a story they'd heard in some class from some Baba there. That a true story in Braj, that there was one man who was giving class every day. And this man, this devotee, was very learned in the Bhagavatam. Many people were coming to hear him give class. And they were a lot of high-class people, a mixed group. There was one person coming who smelled very bad. He was living on the street. He wasn't taking bath. His clothes were old rags. His body was covered with dirt. And they would see him sleeping on the street. Sometimes the people saw him eating out of the garbage. One time one person saw him eating off a plate and some dogs were eating from the same plate at the same time. A very like crazy kind of person. Sometimes you see people like that. Especially in the big cities. Or sometimes even in Pori, we see some people like that. In the temple or something. And he was coming every day to class. And some people would move away from him. It was bad. And one day, that sadhu who was giving the class every day, He went to have darshan of Gopi Sharmadev. And as he was going into the temple of Gopi Sharmadev, he saw that crazy fellow who was coming to his class every day, coming out of the temple. And that sadhu, who is this crazy fellow anyway? So he stopped him. Excuse me. Tell me, what is your name? And that fellow was a little disturbed, that crazy person, you know, they become a little disturbed when you say something to them. And he looked up, and then he recognized, oh, this is that sadhu that I'm here in class with. And he looked on, and he said, my name is such and such Sharma. Sharma is a Brahmin name. You come from a Brahmin family? Yes. What is your village? And then he told him one Brahmin village, very high class village. All very high class village. Jajpur, also a high class place. Villages. We know how to steal from people 10 different ways, so very expert. That's a Brahmin place. So he said, my name is Sharma, I come from such and such village. Very high class Brahmin village. Really? Did you ever have any education? Yeah, he said, I have a master's degree in science. And I said, he says, my God, man, what are you doing? You need to take a bath. What are you? You're living on the street. You're eating on the plate with the dogs. You have a master's degree in science. It's not like in France or America or Hungary or something. A master's degree may not mean so much. But in India, it's a big thing. You have a master's degree, that's, you can make good money. You know, what are you doing, man? Why are you doing that? Somehow by Krishna's desire, that crazy man, he spoke something that he usually wouldn't have spoken. And he told that sadhu, he said that if I don't act this way, then I can't see Krishna. And so you're seeing Krishna? How do you see Krishna? He doesn't even want him to know. On the platform of the Sakti, the platform of Bob, when we see Krishna, it's like one moment, he comes and goes. How do you see Krishna? So I see him like I see you. And we sit down and we have long talks. And he tells me things and this and that. But if I don't behave in this way, then I can't see Krishna. There's some pride will come to me. If I start thinking of something, if I start advertising that I'm seeing Krishna, then Krishna will disappear. So I'm doing like this. So we don't know who's who and what's what. Everyone was giving so much respect to that big sadhu. Oh, he's giving bhagavatam class, doing this and this, and the other person, you don't even want to sit next to him. He smells bad. He's eating with the dogs. The guy. But he's such an elevated person. So we have to give up our external vision. We have to see sadhu through the ear. And I said, we have to see through hearing and associate with sadhu in that way. And then gradually, through the process of Shravana Kirtan, we'll come to the platform of Rati, we have a genuine taste. We'll come to the platform of Prema, we have love for the Lord. And then Krishna will come before us. We'll have darshan of the Lord. And then finally, we'll have that Harer, Madhura Anubhava. We actually experience something of Krishna. So Vishwanath gives this explanation as a meaning. Evam prasanga manaso, evam prasanga manaso, bhagavat bhakti yogataha, bhagavat tattva vijnana, mukta sangha sujayate. He gives a little different, in his commentary, he gives a translation, another meaning of the verse, which we could translate in English as, that when the mind becomes joyful and satisfied at the point of attaining rati, the prema develops and is accompanied by the appearance of complete detachment, then the devotee experiences the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes, powers, and sweetness. These are the different stages. It will happen. If we just simply have this faith and do what we've been given to do by our guru, and don't do what we've not been told to do. Okay, we'll stop here. Pradarashman Bhagavatam Kipcham Vukrini Manam.
माधवानंद प्रभु की
Any other questions or comments?
You were talking about the washerman and how he could have darshan of the Lord, but because he didn't have prema, then he couldn't actually appreciate Krishna. And usually we hear that.
Which is a fact. The exact word used by Vrindavan Mustafa is he didn't have bhakti, which indicates praying to Krishna in his commentaries.
So I was going to ask you, you were talking about how we don't have to aspire to see the Lord, because when you get praying, then he's bound up, he's going to come, he will see you. Is this the case also with Guru? We don't have to aspire to see Guru?
It doesn't mean that we don't have to aspire. We should cry and bang our head. Or Krishna, just like George Harrison, he learned from Prabhupada, he wrote that song, bring that song. My sweet Lord, I really want to see you. I really want to know you, my sweet Lord. We should have that desire. But at the same time, my point is that it's not that you'll see Krishna by your strength, but by the strength of your devotion, Krishna will become attracted to you. And Krishna will come running to that devotee. Well, when Krishna smells the wonderful fragrance of their devotion, Krishna will come running to manifest himself. In the same way, if we don't have to, it's not that we try on our own strength to find Guru, but when we're hankering and crying for Guru, Krishna had manifest before us in that moment. But we should hanker and we should cry like we're going to die tomorrow, like the whole world is going to end. I have to have now. We should strongly desire, but don't think that we're going to get it on our own strength. Is that clear? Are you going to say something else? Some story?
I was wondering about there's that story where Dhruva Maharaj sees his guru and Krishna at the same time, and who he should offer obeisances first, and then he offered obeisances to his guru first, because without his guru he couldn't even know whether it's Krishna or not. So I'm kind of thinking I shouldn't be too fussy about seeing Krishna, but I would really like to see him again. And that's why the question. So is that by service, I guess
you're... Guru is an illumination of Krishna. This is a point maybe I didn't bring out properly in class too, that this is the difference between religion and real spiritual life. Real spiritual life is pratyek sarvagamangam. It's dharma which is realized. It's not just we're doing something. So how is it realized? You may say, I don't have a realization. But when we cry to the Lord, and the Lord reciprocates, and we have some people, they're crying, what is the absolute truth? I don't know. I go, Krishna, God, please show yourself. And somebody gives us a book. And you're crying. You're really praying to the Lord like that. That's, wow, something happened. The Lord reciprocated with me. That's some real thing. We need that kind of reciprocation. We may begin with someone giving you a book, and then you may cry, I need Sadhu Sangha. And then you go and you hear some class from some Sadhu. Wow, this is Krishna speaking to this person. Krishna's coming this form again. It may come in the form of initiation, it may come in different forms, up to the point where we see Krishna. And so, in the same way, Guru Darshan is there like that too. We have to pray, and Guru may appear before us in so many different ways. And we should recognize that and appreciate that. The Bhagavatam describes that a very important quality for a devotee is that we should be appreciative. We should appreciate what Krishna has given us. He's given me so much. I've been living in the temple. I'm saying with devotees, they chant Hare Krishna every day, take prasada, and see the deity who's directed the Lord. He's so kind. I should appreciate that. But Krishna, I'm still not satisfied. I still want something more. I want you. I want to see your representative. And I don't just want a rhythmic initiation.
I want to see him. I want him to slap me. I want him to chastise me. I want a relationship with him. I'm not going to be satisfied with anything less. And if we're very firmly determined like that, the Krishna will give us that. Fine. But he'll give us so many different toys before him to see how sincere we are. And maybe we'll play with that toy for a while and we forget all about our desire. But then it again comes in our heart and we realize, I don't want this. And then we throw that toy away. And finally throw all the toys away. I want you, damn it. I don't want anything else. I'm not going to be saying, don't give me any more toys. I only want you. Then Krishna will come. Guru will come. And we may have some partial darshan of Guru. Someone may get initiation from Guru and not have that kind of understanding. We see in the case of Srila Prabhupada that there were some devotees who left Prabhupada. There's some devotees who, one devotee at least, who rejected Prabhupada and thought he wasn't a bona fide guru. So it's not just a question of external physical proximity. Prabhupada said the mosquito is close to the king. Right? No. He's not an intimate associate. He's not appreciated. You kill the mosquito. So who's really close with the guru? It's not just a question of physical proximity, or the costume that someone wears, or you know, the guru tells to this person, you be the temple president, oh, he must be very dear. You don't know. Lord Shiva, he's guru. He's a spiritual master of so many people. And he gave great mercy to Rama. He gave great mercy to so many people. He gave him a big position. He gave him Lanka and so many powers and things. But he gave him Vamsana. It wasn't real mercy. Because he didn't worship Lord Ramachandra. Is that okay? Anything else?
It was nice, but I was way to observe translating this things. I mean, I heard it was nice.
Simultaneous translation is not good. Yeah. I don't know. We go places, we always do
back and forth.
It's much more forward. But then all, even the speakers, you know, should even think for a little bit. Shri Gurudeva Ki, Gopremandi.